Eric, scrimmage number two in the books, man. We're only what 2 weeks away from all the excitement. We're going to give you the notes right off the bat here with some context, which can even be more difficult. We'll go position by position, all of that stuff. But y'all know the number one place to stay updated with your favorite team. That is Inside Texas. All the team news, battles, what happened in practices. Eric's got you covered through the entire season. Then, of course, recruiting. Always paying attention there. 2027 has some really exciting players you need to pay attention to as well. And then always our great analysis from Paul, Ian, that kind of stuff. Speaking of Paul, you need to buy his book, The 2025 Longhorn Football Prospectus, Thinking Texas Football. Breaks down the team and the SEC teams with a piece on recruiting from Eric, as well as the NIL landscape, roster management, all of that stuff. The links are in the description. You can buy the physical for your bookshelf or get it for your e-reader. Let's get it cracking, Eric. First things first, what's the context, right? If you don't know the context, the notes don't mean what you think they mean. So what was the practice? What was the structure?
Yeah, you have to know the context so you can fight through the uncertainties of zero sum. It was similar to last week. They had, you know, they went the length of the field, just basically like if you're starting with a kick, receiving a kickoff. And then they also did red zone. The length of the field is ones versus twos. So if you hear about a big play, in that scenario, then you know that it was, you know, Ryan Wingo perhaps on a second team cornerback. But the red zone is ones versus ones. And they did a period of red zone that was live. And this week, the offense won. Last week, the defense won that period. And then the length of the field, which was live, full tackle, the defense won. Which last week, I think the offense did better. So it's kind of a little bit of a role reversal from the previous week. And then they also did thud tempo red zone and thud tempo length of the field. In total, it was about 90 plays. A lot of it was good on good. Some of it was ones versus twos.
It's hot, man. That was tough. I always like full field, right? That's the part where it simulates the best. And then we had quick thing, no stress, but three guys went down. But Sark at the presser said, look, man, if this was a real game, they would have returned. Yeah. I'm just obsessed with this being a long season. So I'm being super cautious. Yeah.
When I saw that tweet and I saw the first name on it, I saw the Inside Texas tweet. The first name was Trevor Goosby. I almost slammed shut my computer, man. Luckily, I kept reading.
Yeah,
Goosby, it's just a hand, I think, with him. He's fine. Yeah, they could have come back. Nothing to worry about with injuries. And we didn't hear about it. You know, I checked with the source. I didn't hear about anything else that might have gone, that unnoticed. So it sounds like it was good in that regard. So far, so good. Knock on wood. We'll see. If there's an injury going forward, it wouldn't have happened. It maybe would have been happened during team scrimmage within a practice, but this will be the last real scrimmage. Next week is a mock game, and a mock game isn't like it's misleading. It's not an actual game. It's more of a glorified walkthrough. So unscathed so far.
Cool. And then also, you know, some of our burdens of the past couple seasons were penalties, whether that was pre-snap infraction, that kind of stuff. But it seems like from Sark's presser that it was a lot more clean today.
From Sark's presser and me talking to sources as well, you know, Sark just came in. I don't want to say I'm going to give you better information than Sark, but I always have to double check and see if there's anything that might have been missed. It was, I think that the theme and the overall takeaway of the entire scrimmage was it was much cleaner, less penalties, better tackling, less turnovers, exactly what you want to hear. You're going to go, you know, you can't go into Ohio State and beat yourself. That's, you know, that's the number one thing that you've got to guard against. There's a lot of variables with that first game. You don't know how clean it's going to be. I was talking to Chris Stewart yesterday. I had him predict the score for Texas Ohio State. And the first thing out of his mouth was, well, first game. So, you know, they could have a couple of sloppy drives, you know, that sort of thing. That's what we're guarding against. But, if they're peaking towards even a better performance than today, I think they're in good shape.
Once again, examples of players being far more reasonable about the field on the product on the field than the fans. All right, quarterback room. Start with Arch Manning. Anything else from the depth?
Yeah, Arch. You know, no turnovers. He hit a couple of deeper shots. Overall, he played a much better, much cleaner game, much quicker game than last week. Just felt better, more in control, more in command. And we heard about a lot more receivers this week than we heard last week. Last week, only heard about one or two guys. This week, we heard about three or four. As far as the backups, you know, Trey Owens, I think he's still the backup on this team. And at that point in camp, I think that's a major win for him. He's doing a great job. Didn't hear about a ton of stuff individually. Sark did mention KJ Lacy is doing well during the team period. KJ Lacy threw a touchdown last week, too. They like where he's at. True freshman. Shouldn't have any expectations for him this season, but overall, quarterback's much better week.
and then protecting Arch and the other quarterbacks, offensive line. And then one person you key in on immediately is Jaden Chapman. What's going on there?
Well, Chapman's incredibly important, important just because, hey, yeah, they're okay right now with Trevor Goosby and Brandon Baker, but who knows in week two, week five, whatever, he's going to be needed. So with Goosby, you know, being held out for precautionary reasons, we got a good look at Chapman, and he did have a good scrimmage. Now, it wasn't perfect. He didn't win every rep. That's ludicrous. He's going up against really good edges, but he more than held his own. He held his own for the most part, and to me, that's a good win. I actually feel pretty good about this unit run blocking. I've been hearing, you know, they're not getting, and maybe we should be a little bit more concerned about the defensive line, though. I don't think that's the case. But we're not really hearing about them getting stuffed. They're gaining yards. They're getting a push. So I'm actually pretty excited about the starting five. Sark even mentioned the starting five, and then of course the depth concerns. Depth concerns on O-line have been my number one issue going back before camp started. That's confirmation bias for me. If Sark's worried about it, now I'm probably going to be even more worried about it. Depth is going to be a concern, but right now I feel like Jaden Chapman's lining up to be a solid backup at tackle.
Cool. And he's going to be the swing tackle for either spot?
Yes.
Cool. All right. And then we got running back, which is an interesting room with a lot of depth. It seems like my boy Clark had himself a nice scrimmage.
Hey, so man, you got to share Clark. We're going to have to share Clark.
Yeah.
That's the guy I'm talking about is the most dynamic in the room. And he made some good plays today. Not a lot of massive gains, of course. And you don't really want to hear about massive gains, but he was making guys miss, picking up first downs. And he's just the most dynamic guy they have in the room that can make a play when it's not exactly blocked perfectly. CJ Baxter was mentioned again continually, and that would have been one of the Sark's most interesting things. And it's playing out pretty much how I hypothesized on this channel was, you know, with the amount of carries that Baxter's been getting and the amount of praise, you know, we just couldn't believe that he was going to be on a true pitch count against Ohio State. And Sark today said, yeah, he's already making it. He's adjusting his expectations for that first game because he keeps gaining confidence in Baxter. So, you know, I made a pretty sizable bet that Trey Wisner would not lead the team by 400 yards rushing. I hope he's watching this. I'll feel really good about that one. Although I do want Trey Wisner to have a fantastic year. If Trey wants to go rush for 2,000, somebody else run for 1,600. I'm good with that.
Yeah, he'll really punish you for that. He'll make you look so silly. And then Baxter's presser, man, the other day, just you see why Sark loves him, man. He's just smart. He's all there, you know. And
the whole team has a soft spot for him. Like I said, Trey Wisner is Roshan in some ways, and then CJ is Bijan in some ways.
Makes sense. And then we got Niblett in 21, which is an interesting running back receiver-ish player. I'm really excited. He's one of the players I'm most excited to watch what Sark does with him.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how he starts the season. You know, is Sark going to come out guns blaring against Ohio State and showing that, or is it something he shows a little bit more in conference, or is he – you know, he just wants to see what it looks like in the non-conference slate in September and put it on tape for people to worry about. He's talk about players he has a soft spot for. Ryan Niblett is one of them because he's so tough and selfless, and let's be honest, he's very fast. And so they want to they want to get him involved. I didn't hear about him doing a whole lot, but he's out there still in 21 personnel in these scrimmage situations, and they've been integrating him into the offense going back to 7-on-7. So we're going to see him this year. It's just a matter of how much.
All right, I'm going to leave everyone on a cliffhanger before we talk wide receivers, which will be fun. But first, let's hear a word from Josh Holden.
Hi, guys. Sorry to interrupt, but if you're thinking about buying or selling a home in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, you need to contact Josh Holden. The Metroplex is massive, and the local real estate market is full of nuances and subtleties only an experienced agent like Josh can help you navigate. From Preston Hollow to Highland Park, Uptown to Old East Dallas, Josh will be there to guide you through the process of buying or selling your home. Now, Josh is a UT grad, a lifetime Texas X. He's reliable, savvy, and from a personal perspective, he's a really great guy to chat with. So why don't you give him a call and chat with him today about your real estate needs in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area. His number is 972-917-8081. That's 972-917-8081. Or you can reach him at his website, which is joshholdenrealestate.com. All the contact details are in the description below. Thanks so much. And back to the show.
Wide receiver notes are fun because we have a couple of guys that are usual starters, but also a couple freshmen that performed well. So let's talk the regulars first, more on Wingo, and then we'll hit the freshmen.
Wingo had a good play today on an over route, picked up a big gain. That's kind of a Sark favorite at the moment. I think Arch is going to make a lot of hay on that specific pass concept, especially with Wingo. And then, you know, after Wingo catches the ball, yeah, he's just, you know, hell on wheels. So I'm expecting Wingo to have make a sizable impact on the offense through that specific play. DeAndre Moore, you know, we can talk about him pretty much every practice. He had a really solid day. It's also of note that he's the punt returner and the kick returner right now. I'm wondering if that changes. If DeAndre has the sort of season we expect, do they want him out there?
Rest, they want him to rest.
Exposed to that, I'm not so sure. But right now, he's the guy at punt returner and kick returner. And then, you know, Khalid Lockett, I should probably write an article, five guys with their stock up. Sorry about that. Maybe we have another visitor. Khalid Lockett has been making a lot of noise in the last few practices. And he had a touchdown today on a 30-yard go ball. You know, he's got those go gadget arms. He can go up and get it. Really tough guy to defend in the air. Because you can play him perfectly, and he's still going to make a play just because of his length and his coordination, his ball skills. And then Dalen McCutcheon, we've talked about him all offseason. He's just a really, really good player, really ahead of the curve. Plays like he has much more experience than he actually does. So we think they're going to be five deep this year. I should say I should ask about Emmett Mosley. I don't think he participated again. He's got something that we've got to get details on. And then we didn't hear about Parker Livingston, but I think that ties into the fact that Manny Muhammad is one of the guys that Sark mentioned on defense.
Man, go watch that Lockett huddle from high school. He can go up and get it. That's my favorite receiver trait, and he has that in spades. So I'm super excited to hear about him coming on. And then, of course, McCutcheon. We've been hearing about him all spring too.
Well, right. Lockett's a great pairing for Arch because Arch will trust his receiver to go make a play where, you know, I don't think Quinn necessarily had that same confidence. Arch is going to place it where few can get it, and Kalik is going to go get it when few receivers can.
Let's go to defense. Defensive line, including DTs and edges on this, so it's kind of a mix. But Hero Canoe had another strong day.
Yeah, he's in the backfield a little bit more. I keep trying to replace this guy, but I'm not really trying to replace him. I'm just kind of surprised with what we've heard about the other D tackles, that Hero Canoe is still out there, but he's making plays. And he had a block in a field goal today. Some, I think, thought it went to January, but it sounds like Canoe got it. Just really solid, very reliable. Coaches love that, especially these coaches. They really love reliability. But now we heard about a little bit more playmaking behind the line of scrimmage and beating this guy one-on-one. So Hero Canoe, man, he's having himself a very good August after having a strong summer. Colin Simmons, you can hear about him after every practice. His jersey was torn to shreds. That already tells you there was probably a few more holding calls. They said it was a clean day on offensive line penalties. There might have been a few uncalled if his jersey looked the way it did. He's just a tremendous football player. What else can you say? Cole Brevard, strong game. And then Brad Spence, haven't talked about him a ton since the move to Buck Edge, but he made a couple plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage as well.
Cool. Yeah, Simmons, it feels like you don't even need to mention. It's just like, yeah, I expected. And then second.
If he's healthy, then you know he had a whale of a game.
Yeah. And then linebacker at the second level seems like just kind of a clean, solid day.
Yep, Anthony Hill, same territory as Simmons. You don't really have to talk about him a whole lot. Leonga Lafau with the ones more. You know, Ty Anthony is trying to unseat him, but, you know, Ty Anthony works at Sam and Will. And so it's going to be tough for, you know, if he's not getting as many snaps at Will if he's also splitting at Sam. So we expect Leonga to hold on to that, but Ty Anthony has such a bright future. He's going to play an awful lot. We actually heard the younger guys had a really solid practice too, including Marshall Landwehr, the new scholarship player. Bo Barnes was mentioned. It's just a really solid group, but I think these guys are benefiting quite a bit from the defensive line in front of them. And you know, that's the D line doing their job. If they are, then it's a little easier for the linebackers to play freely. The linebackers were singled out for their ability in coverage today. The coaches put a lot of stress on them in coverage and their zone coverages, but they had a good game or a good scrimmage as far as that goes.
Well, the coaches unfortunately didn't make a tactical error by giving the walk-on the scholarship. You have to save that for a loss. because everyone loves those videos. So if you just release it right after a loss, you get the fan base excited again. But hey, there might not be many losses to do it, Eric.
No, I don't think so. You know, Marshall Landwehr is a player that I've heard about for a couple of years. So that was good to hear that he got his recognition there. Special teamer too.
Yeah. And then let's look at the DBs. Let's start at the star position, the much talked about star position. Who was getting the majority of the reps there today?
Grayson Littleton. So we didn't hear about so when they were 12 personnel, we didn't really hear about them sticking with nickel a whole lot. Sometimes they'll do that with Jelani McDonald there. Jelani got dinged up, and so I guess they wanted to just go with Littleton or go with their base, in which it, when they're out there in base, the nickel comes off the field. And that's when the Sam comes on. So Littleton got most of the reps I heard with the ones today. He played solid. The Kinoto Hudson is a very vocal coaching style, has a very vocal coaching style, a very demanding vocal coaching style, maybe a little old school. But Grayson's in a good spot. You know, that we're still going to figure out, you know, how they're going to defend Ohio State, but Grayson is going to play a whole lot of football this year.
Between him and Banks, man, you're probably constantly hearing noise between offense and defense, coach yelling. All right, and then corner, Muhammad, who we've heard has been making some good strides, and you expect to have a breakout year. And then also Gilbo, who's kind of in a battle-y situation, all of that. What's the deal with the projected starters right now?
Yeah, pretty good. Really good day for Muhammad, and he's showing up more in run support. You know, that he's always been like kind of a wiry, strong player. He's showing up in run support. That's always good to hear. You have to show up and run support for this defense. It's kind of like blocking as a wide receiver. If you don't block, you're not going to play. Muhammad's doing well in that regard and also doing really well in coverage. He can play pretty much any technique they ask of him, and he's comfortable. Gilbo, you know, okay, solid day. He's going up against really talented receivers. I still think that Kobe Black, I think Gilbo's going to earn that job going into Columbus. But what happens after that is anyone's guess. Kobe Black is nipping at his heels, and Warren Roberson having a really strong camp.
And finally, the safeties, man. What's the rotation looking like there? Because it was weird with, you know, Williams coming back, and then sometimes guys were at nickel and blah, blah, blah. So kind of what were the starting rotation today for safety?
Yeah, well, they rotated the main four. You know, McDonald is kind of his own thing, and of course he was dinged up today. But they rotate the main four safeties, Taffin Williams, of course, and then behind them is Jordan Johnson-Rebell behind Taffin, Xavier Filsimi behind Williams. That's just an indication that they're going to continue to rotate safeties like they have. They've been doing that really going back to 2023 is when they started rotating them quite a bit. That's going to be a continuation. It's not just about staying fresh within the season, within the game, but staying fresh within the season. Same rotation we see at D tackle. The corners are probably going to rotate. The corners will probably be four deep. They'll probably rotate four instead of three. And then linebackers, they're going to rotate as well too. That's just all part of the plan, and that's why you see these safeties getting reps with the ones, because you might have Jordan Johnson-Rebell out there, but he's with the first team corners, or you know, instead of just having him practice with the second team corners, you want him on the same page with the guys that he might play out. They're going to mix and match based on need.
All right, man. So the majority of the really hitting, heavy scrimmages, that kind of stuff is going to wane as we prep for the season. Now it's more about, can I trust you? Do you know the concepts? That kind of stuff going forward. But how do you feel with all your infinite wisdom of following this team forever? How are you feeling just personally after this fall camp so far?
I feel pretty good. I wish I had a little bit more clarity on rotations through the sub packages and that sort of stuff. And, you know, maybe that's something I'll have a little bit more of over the next couple of weeks. This next week is going to be a simulated game week as far as practice goes. So they'll have their, you know, spiders on Friday and walkthrough and all that. It'll basically look just like a game week. We might pick up some things. I did like what Sark said about feeling like he has 14 or 15 starters. That's kind of underlines what we've been talking about with the depth on defense. The fact that they'll play more defensive backs than ever before. Look at all the guys that can play it. You could have six starters just at D tackle alone. So I feel really good on D line. Same concern. I guess I'm just going to have this concern all season long is depth on the offensive line. It's unfortunate that we haven't heard about more guys stepping up, but I'm not super surprised by that. You know, they probably should have gone portal. That's neither here nor there. They got to go to war with the guys that they have. And, you know, right now I feel good. I haven't really, you know, reading Paul's articles gives me pause on some of, you know, Texas. Like I've started thinking a little bit higher about Clemson and maybe even Penn State. I'm still not buying the Bama hype. But I haven't seen anything to really pull me off my Texas pick so far.
What about Ian's articles?
Ian is too. We got to get on this show together, and we're going to go back and forth and discuss the pros and cons of Texas. I don't have the same concerns about Ian as far as the secondary coverage. And I think if Texas has those issues, I'm not sure Texas can exploit those same issues probably better than anybody. Certainly on the schedule, you know, he mentions, oh, well, you know, I said, well, Ohio State's got a walking penalty out there at cornerback. You know, they can take him, they can beat him or the other guys. Oh, well, they'll just put in Zach Sanchez. I said, well, Zach Sanchez isn't as good as Kobe Black right now. So if you have that concern for Texas, you have to have that for Ohio State. So I don't have Ian's concerns.
You guys can go to Inside Texas, argue with Ian, argue with Eric, argue with whatever you want. There's so many board members, and all of them like to argue with each other, so it's fun. Come over to Inside Texas, guys. It's all the greatest practice notes, battles, all that stuff. Like we said, this is refining season, right? The coaches are going to make their final tweaks. We'll have a far better understanding of what Ohio State's going to look like. Please come to Inside Texas. You guys can join for just $1 for your first week. Hell of a deal. And as a bonus, your membership includes a complimentary year to The Athletic. Buy Paul's book as well, guys. You will be a smarter fan. You'll enjoy it. Paul is funny and he's insightful. It will not be a boring read. I guarantee you that. All the links to that are in the description. Eric, thanks for these notes, man. You got them up fast, man. So
yeah, and we're not playing. I got friends over. It's Saturday. There's beer to drink. I got to get the work done. Make sure to come over to Inside Texas. We're on pace for 400 articles this month, and it's not clickbait.
Yeah, for sure. All right, everyone. Thank you guys for watching. Eric, thank you as well. And y'all have a great Saturday.